My daughter is pretty awesome. I will. We're the Martin family. My name is James. This is my wife, Dawn, and my daughter, Sarah. We are missionaries to the Blackfeet Indian Reservation. Amen. It's up in northwestern Montana on the Canadian border. It's home to about 12,000 Blackfeet, and there's almost a complete absence of a gospel witness there. It's just kind of hard to understand being from where we're from, and some places are better than others, but this place, there's just nothing there to tell someone that Jesus saves, and that's where God's called us to. It's a cold place physically, it's a cold place spiritually, but by the grace of God, by the end of this year, we're going to be on the reservation ministering, preaching the gospel, and just telling those people that Jesus will save their soul if they will only believe. So I want to thank Pastor Garver and his wife and the church for having us in, and we've been so very well taken care of. Everyone's been so kind to us and let us preach and then fed us. And I'm full. It's a blessing. Yeah, it's blessings. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Philippians chapter 3.
Amen.
This evening. Amen. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Familiar scripture. I want to read a couple of verses here. This is Paul, the apostle, writing this letter to the church at Philippi. And we know Paul's history. He was a Jew and he was very religious and persecuted Christians. But then he met Christ and things changed in his life. And that's how it should be. If you meet Christ and ask him to save your soul, there are some things should be different. If everything's the same after as before, you might need to examine some things. So, but he met Christ and so got saved, and God began to use him, and he just served the Lord. And there's some things here that Paul said that he wanted. So let's kind of look at what he said. Let's start in verse number 7.
Amen.
Paul said, "But what things were gained to me, those things I counted loss for Christ." And all these things, he gave his background, his history, his qualifications. Look at verse 8. "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, a righteousness which is of God by faith."
Amen.
And that's how salvation works. Your righteousness is no good. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you are made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21.
Amen.
Look at verse number 10. This is our text verse.
Thank you, Lord.
Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Pray your touch is here to help us this evening, Lord God. And we just thank you for being willing to be that sacrifice, Lord, and being willing to save our soul when we call upon you. We pray your touch this pastor and his family and this church, and just help us all, Lord God. And we love you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Paul had all the qualifications. Tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the zeal, concerning the law, he was zealous and had the law figured out. Well, he had all the things that Jews considered to be the top-notch qualifications. That was him. But Paul said when he got saved and met Christ, he realized all those things didn't count much. He counted them but dung. That's what he said. For the knowledge of Christ as his Savior. Paul said it's just no good. The things that I spent my life on, the things that I took pride in, the things that I was striving for in my life, he said, when I met Christ, I realized they all don't amount to a hill of beans, so to speak.
Yeah.
And that's the way this old world is. There's people in this old world that have everything you could ask for at their fingertips, and they're miserable.
Yeah.
Rich people, famous people jumping off the bridge every day. And you look at them, and this world thinks, why would they do that when they had everything? The issue is, what they didn't have was the only thing that matters, and that's Christ. Whether you have much or little in this world, if you have him, you have everything. This world's temporal. It means temporary. The things of Christ are eternal, eternal life, eternal heaven, eternal glory.
Yeah.
And he said himself in verse number 10, his desire, first off, was he said that I may know him.
Yeah.
Intimately. Not just know of him.
Right.
Know him better than he knew anyone else in this whole world. Your desire as a Christian should be to know Christ better than you know anyone else. Better you know your wife.
Yeah.
Better you know your husband.
Yeah.
Better you know your mother or
yeah.
father. Better than you know your children. Your desire as a Christian should be to know him better than anyone else. Not know of him, not know about him, but know him. Know him.
Amen.
That takes time. That takes effort.
Yeah.
That takes sacrifice. If you're going to know him like you ought to, you may have to cut the duke off.
Yeah. Amen.
If you're going to know him like you ought to, you may have to get up a little early in the morning.
Oh, go ahead, preacher.
What?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I already get up at 5 o'clock. I understand work.
Yeah.
I worked all my natural born life up till Christmas when I quit my job and we started deputation.
Amen. Amen.
It may take a little sacrifice, but knowing him, Paul said his desire was to know him. Not only that, he said in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. This verse normally goes along pretty good. I may know him. Amen, preacher. And the power of his resurrection. Amen, preacher. And the fellowship of his suffering is crickets.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to suffer. Who wants? Paul said that he would know the fellowship of his sufferings. What kind of suffering did Christ endure? Christ endured the suffering of an unjust man as a just man. That's what the Bible says. 1 Peter 3:18, the just for the unjust, that's how it worked. Jesus Christ was a just man. He never sinned. He never did wrong. And yet he suffered the things he suffered for a lost and dying world. That world might be saved. He suffered the things he suffered in this old world. And he was whipped and scourged and spit on and crown of thorns and hung on a cross, nailed to a cross. He suffered all these things as a just, sinless man, and he did it for the unjust. That's the fellowship of his sufferings. And Paul was experiencing some of these sufferings. You and I, we live in America. You know what? I guess you ain't what you used to be, but we're really not experiencing any suffering, are we? The worst suffering we're going to get is somebody won't take a track. That's about it. That's about
Amen.
The worst suffering we're going to get. Right?
Amen.
Oh, you're trying to tell someone about the Lord.
Right.
And they curse at you. I mean,
yeah.
Nobody wants to be cursed at, but we ain't been striving under blood yet, is what I'm saying.
Right.
Right. Now, there may be a time as things continue on, but as of right now in the good old U.S. of A., it's just not like that for us, but that's these things Paul's experiencing. Everywhere he went, they were whipping him and putting him in jail and shipwrecks and stoning him. Paul said that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Jesus Christ's death, he gave his life that other people might be saved.
Right.
You know what Paul did from the time he met Jesus Christ? He gave his life and devoted his life to the service of Christ that others might be saved.
Yes.
He said, well, that's the preacher's job. It is the preacher's job. Well, that's the missionary's job. It is the missionary's job. And guess what? That's your job also. You may work a job, you may do what you have to do and do the things that you do, but our life, every Christian's life, the focus of our life should be serving God that people might hear about Jesus Christ and know about Jesus and be saved.
Amen.
You don't have to go to Timbuktu to serve God and devote your life to the service of Christ.
Amen.
You can do it right here in Lansing, Michigan, wherever that is. You can do it right here.
Yeah, amen.
And we should as Christians. That's what Paul was saying. He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable to his death.
Wow.
The Bible calls it being a living sacrifice.
Oh, yeah.
That's what Romans chapter 12 says.
Romans 12. Yes,
sir. We should be a living sacrifice.
Yeah.
I never think about sacrifice. Sacrifice has to die. Right? You're going to have to die to yourself. You're going to have to put it down. Right. It's not going to be about your desires anymore if you're going to be that living sacrifice. It's going to be what Christ wants. But I want to take a few minutes and look at that phrase, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Now, we all know for a fact that Jesus Christ came. He was God, that Jesus Christ died, that he was buried. And at the third day, God raised him up out of that tomb. We know that
Amen.
For a fact.
Amen.
That's what we know. Amen. And Paul, and we call it the resurrection, is what the Bible calls it. But Paul said he wanted to know the power of his resurrection. So there's some power in that resurrection. Paul said, I want to know.
Yeah.
Paul said, that's what I want. So I want to take a few minutes and look at some things that the Bible says about the power of the resurrection. This resurrection, this power, as a Christian, what can it do for you? What does it do for you? What does it allow and enable you as a Christian to do? Turn to Romans chapter number 1. Let's start there. Romans chapter number 1.
Amen.
Acts Romans. Romans chapter number 1. The power of his resurrection. Romans chapter number 1. Look here in verse number 4.
Yes, sir.
So here is speaking of Jesus Christ. Romans 1 and 4. The Bible says, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead.
Amen.
You know what the power of the resurrection is? You know what the resurrection does? It validates your faith in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That's what it does. It just said he's declared to be the Son of God because of the resurrection from the dead. He told everyone, I'm the Son of God, I'm God's Son, I'm God, he sent me, he died when he came up that third day. Aha, he's exactly who he said he was.
Yeah, amen.
It validates your faith.
Yeah.
We do some flying sometimes. So you take your ticket to your counter.
Yeah.
You two ladies, your skinny ticket, boop, boop. This is a valid ticket.
Yeah.
We purchase that ticket. It's right. It's us. And guess what? We can get on the airplane.
Yeah, man.
It's valid, right? You know what the resurrection does? It validates your faith in Jesus Christ. That you're right in believing that he's God. That you're right in believing that he can save your soul. That you place the faith and trust for your soul that's going to live forever somewhere, that you placed it in the right place in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It validates your faith. That's a blessing.
That's a pretty good
That's
blessing.
A blessing to know that the most important thing you have is in the right hand. Some people put it in the hands of the priest. That's the wrong place to put it. Some people put it in the hands of the mother church. That's the wrong place. Some people keep it in their own hands. That's the wrong place to put it.
Amen.
It validates your faith.
That's right.
Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Let's look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Back to the resurrection chapter. 1 Corinthians 15. The power of the resurrection. Part of the power of the resurrection is that it validates your faith in Jesus Christ. I have believed on Jesus Christ, and you are absolutely right to do so, because when he died, they placed him in a tomb, and God raised him back from the dead, and he is going to live forevermore.
Amen.
Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 12. The Bible says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." Verse 15, "Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins." That's what the Bible says. Paul said, if there's no resurrection,
right,
then we've been telling a lie the whole time, and our faith is in vain.
Right.
But we know our faith is not in vain. How do we know? Because we placed it in Christ, and God raised him from the dead.
Yeah.
We know our faith is in the right place, in the right man, the man Jesus Christ, the God-man.
Amen.
Part of the power of the resurrection of Christ is that it validates our faith.
Yeah. Amen.
Turn to Acts chapter 13. Let's look at another one. Acts chapter 13.
That's good preaching.
We believe this book, don't we?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Don't we believe this book?
Amen.
If you place your faith in Jesus Christ for your salvation, you're saved. It's because you believe what this book said about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what we believe this book. We believe it's God's word. We believe it's true. We have bet our lives on it. We bet our souls on it. We have bet our eternity on the fact that this book is true. Look at Acts chapter 13. Let's begin in verse number 30.
Amen.
The Bible says,
yeah,
"But God raised him from the dead."
Amen.
Those previous verses said they took Christ down, they put him in a tomb. Verse number 30 says, "But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up from him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, and that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." You see that? He's quoting the Psalms, right? Look at verse 34. "And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David." You know what that is? That's scripture. We're going to look at that scripture. Verse 35. "Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption."
Amen.
So that's several verses of Old Testament scripture quoted there that Luke said was fulfilled when God raised Jesus Christ from the dead.
Amen.
You know what part of the power of the resurrection is? The power of the resurrection is that it fulfills the Scripture.
Right. Amen.
It fulfills the Scripture.
That's good, preacher.
His birth fulfilled the Scripture. Right? Mm-hmm. Unto us the Son is born, right?
Right.
His death fulfilled the Scripture.
Yep.
His resurrection fulfilled the Scripture.
How
do we know that he is who he said he is?
Yep.
Because it happened just like what the book said it was going to.
Yeah.
The power of the resurrection is that it fulfills the Scriptures.
Yeah.
Hold your place here. Keep your hand here and turn to Psalm chapter 2. Let's look at these references. Psalm chapter number 2. Turn to Psalm 2. Let's look at these references that Luke just mentioned and these verses of Scripture that we read. Psalm chapter number 2.
Yeah.
So Acts 13 and 33. The Bible says, "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." Look at Psalm chapter 2. Look at verse number 7.
Yes, sir.
"I will declare the decree, the Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God.
Amen.
This Psalm chapter 2, that's what it was talking about, and it was fulfilled hundreds and hundreds of years later in Jesus Christ. The resurrection fulfilled the Scriptures. Let me show you another one. Look back here in Acts chapter 13. Look at the end of verse number 34.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
The Bible says that I will give you the sure mercies of David. And we know that's talking about King David, right? God had made an everlasting covenant with King David, right? But King David died and his sons died and they died and they died and they died. How's this going to be an everlasting covenant? First, let's look at Isaiah chapter 55. Turn there. We're going to flip in the Bible a little bit. Isaiah chapter number 55. Let's look at the sure mercies of David. Isaiah 55. Look in verse number 3. Isaiah 55 and 3. The Bible says, "Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." Psalm 89 says the exact same thing as God over and over again saying, "This covenant I make with David, this covenant I make, someone's going to rule and reign on his throne forever. His seed is going to rule and reign forever." Well, how's that going to work? People keep living and people keep dying, right? Turn with me to Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1. How is this prophecy going to be fulfilled? These sure mercies of David, how is it going to work? How is it going to go on forever and ever and ever? I can tell you exactly how it's going to go on forever and ever. It's going to go on because of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's going to go on through Jesus Christ. That God made an everlasting covenant with David, of thy seed. Someone's going to rule and reign forever. Look at verse 31, Luke 1 and 31.
Yes.
"And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb," he's speaking to Mary, "and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus."
Yep.
So that clears up who we're talking about. We're talking about Jesus. "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." And look, verse 33. "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." The sure mercies of David in Acts 13, how was it fulfilled? How was that covenant fulfilled? It was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He died. He rose again. The resurrection. He's alive forevermore. And he is going to rule and reign forever.
Amen.
Amen.
That's how the covenant was fulfilled. The power of the resurrection is that it fulfills the scripture. Psalms chapter 16 and verse number 10. Will not suffer thy holy one to see corruption.
Amen.
You know, the psalmists, they wrote these psalms, and many times they were speaking about themselves, and you can see that in the context. Then you run up on Psalm 22.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right?
Yep.
They were never hung on a cross.
Nope.
Right. They were writing of themselves and their troubles, and God was in it, and it was inspired, but you can see the prophecy in it.
Right.
They didn't know everything they were writing. Part of the power of the resurrection is that it validates our faith. Part of the power of the resurrection is that it fulfills the scripture. And look back in Acts 13 with me. Power of the resurrection. Paul said he wanted to know that power. He wanted to know the power of the resurrection. So we just read about Jesus Christ, how he fulfilled all these scriptures, and he was the Son of God and the sure mercies of David and did not see corruption. And verse number 37 says, but he whom God raised up saw no corruption. Now look at verse number 38. It says, be it known unto you, therefore. You see that therefore? That's taking something that you just read and tying in with something that you're going to read. When you see wherefore, when you see therefore, you know what it's there for to tie those two things together. He says, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe and are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Power of the resurrection is forgiveness of sin.
Praise the Lord.
Forgiveness of sin. You know why you're going to heaven? Because Christ took your place, he paid that debt, and he called on, he forgave your sins.
Amen.
You know what? He's the only one that can.
Amen.
If you were to give your life for a spouse, for a child, it wouldn't matter. You're not qualified. You're not qualified to forgive sins. Part of the power of the resurrection is the forgiveness of sins. If he wasn't raised from the dead to live forever, he's not qualified to forgive sins. He has eternal life, and he'll give it to whosoever will if they just receive him by faith. Man, that's great. Part of the power of the resurrection is forgiveness of sins. I said it in the morning service or maybe the Sunday school. If he wasn't raised up to live forevermore, what's the difference between him and Lazarus?
Yeah.
Lazarus was raised up, he died again.
Right.
The widow Nain's son, he raised him up, he died again. Jairus' daughter, he raised her up, she died again. But this man, the Bible says, we read in Romans chapter 6, God raised him up, he's alive forevermore, and he will die no more.
Right.
He has eternal life.
Right.
He has proved by fulfilling the scriptures that he is the one. He is the only begotten Son of God. He's the one that's qualified and able and willing to forgive sins.
Amen.
The Bible says he's willing and able. That's what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews.
Right.
If he was willing, but he wasn't able, that wasn't doing so much good. If he was able, but he was not willing, that wouldn't do as much good either, would it?
No.
I thank God he's willing and able.
Amen.
I thank God he is able to forgive sins, and he's willing to forgive. The Bible says, whosoever will, let him come take the water of life for
him.
Amen,
preacher.
You know why people go down to the nursing homes and preach, and then people sometimes are drifting mentally? Because it might be that God give them a space of grace and then come back in and hear that gospel.
Yeah.
You know why people go down to the prisons and jailhouses and preach?
Yeah.
Wickedest people, well, I'm going to say that, some of the wickedest people in the world are probably watching today, man.
Jail. Amen.
But you know what? But
And if they'll hear that gospel and believe on Jesus Christ, you know what he'll do? He'll save your soul.
Now, that doesn't mean the door's going to fly open like Peter. Amen. They may spend the rest of their life in that jailhouse, but if they believe on Jesus Christ, they're saved. And when they, die, they're going to go to heaven just like you.
That's right.
Forgiveness of sins is part of the power of the resurrection.
It's power.
There's no age minimum.
Yeah, thank God for that.
There's no age maximum. Preacher said, amen. He's an old man. He can have his power. Amen.
Every born again person can have the power of this resurrection in life.
Right.
You know what the power is? It's power to live. You can live for God. You can't live for God in your own strength. You know what's going to happen? You're going to fall out. Living for God in your own power, you're going to fall out, you're going to get out, you're going to quit. But with this power, you can live for God, you can serve God. You can live your life and die in full assurance.
Amen.
Because you're in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know anybody that's just seriously afraid of death?
Yeah.
I know some people like that. I can remember I was lost, and friend, you weren't going to get me to a funeral home.
It'd take about 6 or 8 of you to get me in a funeral home.
Yeah.
Why? I was afraid.
Yeah.
I was afraid. I can remember I had an aunt die, and I remember I pulled up at the funeral home, and I parked right in front of that funeral home and sat there for a minute. I put that dude in first and backed out. I ain't even go in. I couldn't get around it. Why? I was lost. I was lost, and death had fear for me.
Yeah.
You know what? Being dead holds no fear for me now.
Yeah.
I heard a man say one time, he said, I'm not afraid of being dead. He said, well, there's some bad ways to die.
Yeah.
That getting there might be an issue, but as far as being dead, it should hold no fear for someone that's born again. Why? Because you know where you're going to go. Because you trusted the one that can give eternal life. You trusted the one that God raised up from the dead is alive forevermore. You trusted him. This power will allow us to live for God. It'll allow us to serve God. It'll allow us to die in full assurance of Christ.
Amen.
Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to bring this thing in for a landing. Turn to Isaiah chapter number 40. And you hear some preachers say that, and 30 minutes later, they're still trying to get it on the ground. I'm not going to be like that. You done. Man, you done fed me up, and you done fed me up. I am not going to be like that.
That's good preaching, though, brother. Thank you, sir. Praise God for that preaching.
I'm in Jeremiah. That ain't going to work. Turn to Isaiah.
It's in the Old Testament, right?
There you go. That's at the front, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. Look at Isaiah chapter number 4. Look at the end of the chapter. The Bible says in verse number, look at 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I'm not preaching some kind of prosperity gospel to you.
Come on,
right? If you've been living any length of time, you know life gets pretty stinking tough sometimes. Life will get on your back, it'll get you down. But listen to me, If you're in Christ, you are the victor. We might not always feel like it, but we're not saved by our feelings, and we don't live by our feelings. We save and live and walk by faith, believing what God said in the book.
Amen.
And this is a problem, I think, that's prevalent with many Christians. God wants us to be soaring with the eagles, and we spend all our time pecking with the chickens. That's a soul with the eagles.
Yeah,
that's a good point. Many times in your Bibles, he says, when he says eagles, he's talking about buzzards, right? We lived in Montana. I remember I used to drive to work. Worked in Bozeman, lived in Three Forks. So I was driving to work, and there was this big old tree beside the interstate, and there was a pair of eagles nesting there. And they nest very early in the year, February, March, they nest. It's still cold there and snowing. They nest so they can hatch their eggs and give their eaglets time to grow up and get gone before the next winter. I remember I was driving to work one day, and that mama eagle, she was sitting on the nest. You could see it clear as a bell. There was a storm blowing in from the north. It was snowing, and it was cold. That wind was blowing 30, 40 miles an hour. And that mama eagle was sitting on that nest, and that old dead eagle, he was sitting up on that limb, and he was facing it. Into that stone.
Yeah.
He was stone still.
Yeah.
Just standing, just taking that wind in face. It won't bother me a bit. Life's going to happen.
Yes.
Troubles come.
Yeah.
Trials come.
So
tears are going to happen. Tears are going to happen, right? That's the fact of life.
Right.
But if you're in Christ, some kind of prosperity. I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad for things happen. Depression is real. These things, living is real. Living's tough, but so is our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
He's alive and he's real and he loves you and he cares for you.
Amen.
And whatever you need in this life,
amen,
he's got something available for you.
Amen.
I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what the situations and circumstances are. But he does, and according to what the Bible says, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. We need to spend our time soaring with the eagles with Christ and not pecking with the chickens. Come on, brother.
I know one of the problems we have in life is how many problems and battles there really are. All right? You know what I get tired of? All the battles. Human beings that betray you and kick you and throw you away. I was telling Brother Martin, you know, we're the church of the misfits. And I'm the pastor of the misfits because I are a misfit. I know what that's like. And a lot of the brethren, they don't want you around for this or that. But Lord Jesus said in that away, amen. I'm so glad of that. The power of his resurrection. And that's not the power of what you think you know. In all reality, I hate to burst your bubble. But there's not much difference in what you know and what a four-year-old knows. Do you know that? You ain't as smart as you think. You're not as strong as you think. But it gets you a few miles on that old body, and you'll figure that one out, won't you? And the more times I read my Bible, the less I know. What do you mean by that? Because I go back to passages, and I thought I had it all figured out, and I didn't. Y'all ever take a passage of Scripture and try to figure it all out? Don't. You just wear yourself out. So what you do is you stand and believe on the stuff that's there that you see.
Preacher's talking about that validation. And, of course, the Bible don't have to validate itself. It's already settled in heaven. The validation has to come from us in doubters. And I don't know sometimes if I'm more of an unbeliever than I am a believer. Anybody else like that? If you're watching, Scott, we still on, brother?
Nope,
we're off. Okay. That's fine. I didn't know if we were still on or off. You know, beloved, brother's message here is pretty important. And I've said this many times. I'm going to say it one more time. I've been saying a lot in our classes. Don't know everything. Don't think you know everything, because you don't. Hey, who's the Shuhite in the book of Job? Oh, come on now. I thought y'all knew everything. And I said that to some folks this week. This one individual said, "Now I read my Bible." I said, "All right, tell me who the Shuhite was in the book of Job, because it's important. If it's in the Bible, it's important." Y'all don't know who the Shuhite was? Bildad. Matter of fact, the joke is the shortest man in the Bible was Bildad, the Shuhite. You know why? Because he was only a Shuhite. Shuhite. Oh, I forgot I was in Michigan. Hey, you think you know it all? What's the smallest Bible or smallest sin in the Bible? I thought y'all knew everything. Flee fornication. Flee. Oh. And what's the only car that's mentioned in the Bible that you ought to have? The Accord. You guys got, oh my word, you got it. Hey, y'all hear my point? That I may know him. The power of his resurrection. And I will tell you, Brother Martin, the fellowship of his sufferings. Honestly, with my heart, I'm tired of being in this. Only Jesus can take the sufferings. And the greatest suffering in my heart is to watch you slowly kill yourself. Daily. To watch so many walk away. As you know, we've had a lot. This church should be at about 300, 400 right now. Of course, they would tell you, well, it's your fault. No, it's your fault for just not wanting a word. Hey, y'all, know him. Does anybody remember the Major League Baseball Player of the Year in 2002? I'll have to go back and check, but I believe it was Barry Bonds when he was with the San Francisco Giants. Do you know how many home runs Barry Bonds got in 1998? Well, I thought y'all knew everything. You know, a lot of that stuff that we think we know and we ought to know, it's not very important. But what's important is that we know him. Fellowship of his sufferings. Man, let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Thank you, preacher. Y'all love on him. Brother Ray, let's take up a love offering. Can we do that? What's that?
Yeah.
Come on. Y'all are standing so you can get to your wallets. Can you get to your wallets? And if you got a 5 or 10, brother said something about liking the ones with Benjamins on it. He said those are his favorite. He said that Benjamin was one of his favorite people on earth. But if y'all got something, let's put it in the offering plate. Can we please? I don't know what you got, but I double dog dare you to empty your wallet out. Let preacher get some help and we can get him down the road. Church family, you have 1 week to pray about it. Let's pray about it next Sunday, and let's pray that we could take on the Martins as missionaries from our church. This week, I want you all praying. Now, there are some things come by fasting and praying. This might be one of them. So let's ask the Lord what to do. Right now, we have 10 missionaries. And let me tell you, this month I sent out, usually we send out $50 to each missionary. This month we was able to send out
$70. Amen. Praise God.
Preacher was paid every week. The bills were all paid. And we could not always say that, could we? So God's been a blessing. Brother Ray, why don't you ask blessing and offering? Let's take up an offering, and then we'll dismiss in prayer. So just stay put a second. All right, go, sir. Amen. While they're taking it here, Brother Ray, while they're taking up the offering, just if you need to sit, sit, but just stay standing if you can. Sister Dawn, give us testimony of your salvation. Well, amen. Amen. Amen.